Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Minch Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined on the bullpen phone by my pal Chris Zook.
We are live.
And from the press box, our guest, Doug Greenwald, the new voice of the Winnipeg Goldeyes. Doug, are you there?
Well, Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I know you're under the weather there. I appreciate you making some time today. Welcome to the show and welcome to the city.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard to believe. I've been here almost 2 weeks. It's flown by so far.
Getting situated and adjusted.
Warmer. Sorry about the snow.
Yeah, warmer weather around the corner, apparently.
I heard by maybe August.
So you come to us after decades in with the Fresno Grizzlies in the PCL, and I'm curious kind of about your kind of journey into sports broadcasting. As I understand it, your father was a broadcaster as well?
Yeah, correct. Hank Greenwald, for 16 seasons, was with the San Francisco Giants. He had 2 stints of 8 years. 79 to 86 and 89 and 96, and then spent a couple of years doing the radio for New York Yankees and then a couple of years of TV with the Oakland A's.
So was it a given that would be something, a career path you would follow, or was that something he encouraged at all, or did you kind of have to push to do it?
Well, he just encouraged it, and put it that way. It's a tough field. He was happy for whatever endeavor I wanted to go into, but I say discouraged in sort of a funny way, but I really haven't known life any other way, to tell you the truth. I go to the ballpark with Dad every day. That's pretty much been my upbringing.
So when it came time to kind of doing things yourself, like, did you take tips and tricks that you'd learned from sitting in the ballparks and watching your father, or did you kind of try to, like, push against that and go your own way and develop your own style? Like, what was kind of your thought process going into broadcasting?
I'd listen and learn from him. I mean, he was teaching me a lot about preparation for games, playing out situations, when a story, when not to. I learned a lot from his partner, one of his partners, Ron Fairley, who's really a legend in Canada. I mean, Ron, played for the first Expos teams, played for the first Blue Jay team. He was the first ever Canadian. Ron wasn't Canadian, but Ron was the first to represent both Canadian teams in an All-Star game. But Ron was a great Dodger back in the 60s. Played for Walter Alston, played with Sandy Koufax, played with Don Drysdale, many others. And Ron was so good about pointing out fundamentals and situations. So I would learn a lot from my dad about the play, like play and preparation aspect, and learn a lot from Mom about the X's and O's on the field.
So in terms of preparation, what does that look like for you? Like, I mean, obviously you've got your home team, you know your team, and you start to kind of get to know them throughout the season, but in terms of who you're facing off against game to game. What kind of preparation are you doing to familiarize yourself with the opposing team, and what does kind of before the game look like for you?
You know, one thing I like about baseball is you have connections almost everywhere. And, you know, guys might have been teammates in the Northwood League, you know, in college. I didn't, you know, college wouldn't bat me. Might have been teammates somewhere and throw a ball. Maybe they were in college together. Maybe they grew up together. I always like putting that together. So-and-so is, you know, on the mound. And I talked to him before the game, and he told me that he knows three people. He knows three people from the Baltimore-Head Redhawks because he played with them in, you know, in lacrosse in the College Wooden Bat League 3 years ago. Or so-and-so, this is the first time they told me they've ever been to Canada. I just like kind of human interest stories. I mean, the stats obviously are relevant, but you know, you give the basics with the stats. Well, of course you do. You have to. You tell them how much, what the batting average is, what the ERA is. But you know, that stuff you can look up easy enough. As a broadcaster, we're the go-between the fans, and we're the go-between the players. Because the fans don't really have the access to the players for the stories. But that's our job to present both sides of things and to bring that fan closer to the player. So that's one of the things I really enjoy about podcasting, is taking the human interest angle. I love the history of the game. So if, let's say, we're in a particular city that's had a lot of history, I might, you know, over the course of a four-game series, talk about what's going on at that ballpark or in that city. There's a lot with baseball because, you know, you just don't know what kind of game you're going to get from night to night. You'd rather over-prepare and not use a note than not be prepared. So I look at it sort of as a buffet. You take a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Doug, welcome to Winnipeg, like Michael said. I was just wondering about sort of this opportunity. It's the Gold Ace have had quite a storied history here in Winnipeg when they came back and they won championships. But I also was just wondering about the changing landscape of radio broadcasts as well. You know, they still do radio broadcasts here in Winnipeg. It's not online. Even at the professional level, they've had some of the teams don't go on the road. But just talk about this opportunity to be the Winnipeg Gold Ice play-by-play announcer and sort of the landscape of broadcasting over the last little while.
Well, that's one of the things that sets the Gold Ice apart. Is that, you know, Sam Cates and Andrew Collier, they care about baseball on the radio. Sure, the internet is a fabulous tool, and, you know, economically better for a lot of teams. It's not, you know, nowadays it's not easy to find a radio station, or it's not easy to pay to be on a radio station, but the brass here with the Gold Eyes, they have the importance of getting a message out in a more, let's just say, old school way, where you know, you get in your car after a game, or maybe you don't stay for the whole game, you can turn on the radio. It's a lot easier than trying to fiddle with your iPhone. And, you know, radio, it hits your target audience. You're driving around town during the day, and, you know, your radio store, the station you're on, you know, helps promote your game. So you can say, well, that's right, you know, the Gold Eyes are home tonight, and you can hear a spot for them on the radio. So that's, I think, the big thing. It's just, and the radio doesn't give out. You're in your car. The car radio is not going to give out. You're in the car, and maybe the iPhone doesn't have, you might hit a spot where, oh, yeah, the self-service is bad, or the iPhone cut out, and now by the time you get it back on, three other plays have already happened. So there's a lot of value in radio, being there live. It's a way to stay on the air. It's a ability to promote during the day. And that's the thing that's very important. So now, almost in the minor leagues, radio is the exception to the rule. That's really has changed in the last 10 years. So when people say, well, they're minor league teams, yeah, we're on the radio, it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, so that's absolutely, that's one of the big things here.
And just wondering also, like you said, you just, I mean, Yeah, I mean, that is kind of one of the things I love. I mean, me and Michael are both baseball nuts. Love listening to radio in the car if they're on the road of a team you're following. Just curious, so you said you've been here in Winnipeg for a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, you might have had some snow the last week before, but it is going to warm up, like Michael said. I was lucky. I got out to the ballpark. There's a restaurant that overlooks the ballpark called Clay Oven. And so I was curious if you've been there yet, and also have you been to the park and checked out your new surroundings of where you'll be calling Gold Eyes games at Shaw Park this year?
I've not been to Clay Oven, but I report to work at the ballpark every day. So I've been up to the booth a few times. It's a good vantage point. You're not too high, not too low. A good-sized press box. I haven't quite seen every different view of the stadium yet, but we got all summer to do that.
So, and one thing about that, as season is about to start in early May, I believe May 11th is the open game, and I believe May 19th, but maybe you can correct me, Doug, if I've got the dates wrong, about the season opener at Shaw Park. But just talk about sort of what you've got. This is all a little bit new for you, right? A new city, new organization. But sort of in the next, like, 2-3 weeks, sort of as we ramp up to the start of the Gold Eye season for this year, sort of what it entails for yourself and how much preparation still is to be done and to kind of meet a lot of the players. And I'm sure you've met a lot of people in the organization, but to get down on the field and talk to a lot of the players as we get into the season.
Well, you just said it. Right now it's a blank canvas. I mean, we have a list of who the roster will be, but players haven't arrived yet. It'll be a new manager with Greg Taggart. A lot of experience from the York Association, all the years he had with Gary. But I get to meet Greg in person, and I talked and texted. So it's going to be very new for me. I'm used to coming from organizational ball where you meet farm directors, you see scouts, and their players are only limited to certain innings. For the most part, here it's a different structure. So, you have a farm director above you, or a general manager above you, don't tell the manager who's going to bat third in it. So, the first few weeks, I'm just trying to familiarize myself with players and looking up their bios and all. And I'm really trying to familiarize myself with some of the names who've been through here. The history, the legend of Rick Forney, who was here one way or another for 26 years. It's amazing to think about. The Max Boulins and the Reggie Abercrombies and obviously Ennis Ramones, the hitting coach, and on. You want to get on the air, you need to know, especially with the 30th anniversary this year, we're doing a lot of promos regarding that. You want to be, someone comes up to you and drops a name, you want to be like, oh yeah, that guy was one of the championships.
Now, Doug, you're in the booth by yourself, but it sounds like a lot of the off-air preparation involves relationship building and kind of getting to know people so that you can then kind of tell their stories as you tell the game story.
Sure, absolutely. You never know who you meet before a game, and you might be able to use something on the air that someone tells you. It doesn't have to be someone you look at. You could be on the road in Sioux Falls or Sioux City, and you meet somebody who maybe they played there, or maybe they're a fan who's never missed a home game there. I always enjoy doing that. It's part of the fabric of baseball, and you can see other cities and meet people around the league.
And Doug, just wondering here, this is, it's always the great time of the year as we start anew. Like you said, it's a clean slate as we get into sort of a quick spring training there, and then the Gold Eye season starts up. What do you kind of look forward to every season? I mean, you're a veteran at this. This is obviously new, coming to a new city and new organization. But I was just curious personally, like sort of what kind of excites you as you go into a new season every year?
a whole new group of friends, a whole new group of games. That's how I look at it. I'll collate a lot of friends, a lot of new stories. And as always, as a broadcaster, to share the game, to share our product with the fans. You know, as a broadcaster, we're not just talking baseball and feel like, oh, we're selling our product too. And it's being able to sell the Gold Ice product and sell the 30th anniversary and to promote the Bobblehead Nights, Firework Nights, and the concession, my other things of the concession. But that's my favorite part. Really, you know, someone had asked me, I'd say, just getting to know the fans or know the players, meeting a whole new group of people. That excites me.
And a whole new group of ballparks. I noticed on your Twitter account you have posted appreciations for touring different ballparks, and obviously joining this league, you'll get to see a bunch of new ones.
Well, you know, it's funny, or coincidental. My All-Star break last year, the only at least professional league that was playing was the American Association. So I figured, all right, well, let me go knock out a few of those ballparks. So I saw five games. You know, I caught a game at Chicago, with Gary, Sioux Falls, not sure in all that order. Where else? So I think it was last year in the American Association. Yeah, now I'm losing the word. The two in the Milwaukee area. Franklin and
the Milkman.
O'Connell.
Yeah.
One of the games involved the Gold Eyes. That was at Chicago. And I was hoping Winnipeg would have been home because I would have made a real effort to come up here. But they were on the road. And it was like an 11 a.m. game at Chicago. And we would have thought that a year later, here I am in Winnipeg, and here I am in the league. So I've already knocked out about a handful of ballparks. So... So there's a few. I still have not been to. I've not been to the one in Fargo. I've not been to Sioux City yet. I know we don't go to Cleveland. I have been to that ballpark to look at it, just have not been for a game. All the others, though, I've been to Lincoln. I was there, actually. Fresno played Omaha in the one-game deal there many years ago. So I have been to Lincoln's ballpark. I've been to Kane County because I was in the Midwest League, and I was in the Midwest League many years ago. Kansas City, I've not been for a game, but I've looked at it. I've taken a tour. Okay. Yeah, but, so I'll be able to add a few new ballparks this year, of course. I'm going to play that back to the game here yet.
For sure. Now, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Michael. I got one after.
Okay, so, I want to pivot a little bit, because I know that in the last two seasons you've done basketball for UC Davis, and I'm curious about kind of like how transferable the skills of play-by-play are between the two games, or is it like just dynamically different that like you don't use the same skills to call a basketball game as you would a baseball game?
Well, basketball, if the game's a blowout, you already have a built-in frame, and that's called a clock.
Right.
Baseball, you have a blowout game, and it's the third inning. That's all you. So, baseball, you have more players. Basketball is just a lot quicker in and out. But I do try to sneak in a story here and there about connections with basketball also. But obviously it's a lot more fast-paced. You're in and out of there in about, just under 2 hours. Baseball, that's not the case. So in baseball, well, each sport involves a lot of preparation. I think it's more so with baseball. And again, the baseball, you don't know what you're going to see from night to night. There's any number of different ways the ball will bounce and the craziness of certain plays and dimensions being different and weather conditions being different. Basketball, there's no dimensions being different. The weather is the same. And with college basketball, really all the players are between ages 18 and 22. So it's totally different.
For sure.
So Doug, when people are listening in this year, I'm always curious, do you have a signature call? Is there something that you're coming up new for Winnipeg Goldeye fans to listen to this year? How does that work over the years for yourself?
You know, I don't really have a signature call. I don't go too overboard. I think it's played in the moment. If it's a home run, there's no doubt I'll say you can forget it. Or I might say, well, that ball's headed for Brandon Ryan. I do drive to left field, that ball's headed to Brandon. already have a geographical designation.
Sure enough. Doug, is Twitter the best place to follow you on social media, or do you kind of have an Instagram presence? What's your preferred method of people keeping tabs on things?
I would say you can follow me at Twitter at Dugout04, D-O-U-G-A-U-T-04.
Perfect. And folks will be able to tune in at 93.7 on CJNU. Zook, you were right about the dates. May 11th, the road, Gary South Shore Railcats opener.
And we're going to have 5 exhibition games, which will all be heard on CJNU starting next Friday, May 5th in Fargo.
Oh, nice. So you are doing exhibition
excellent.
Games. Great. And you'll get a chance to see the Fargo Park, which is kind of a nice one.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll have 2 games at Fargo and 3 at Milwaukee, all exhibition games, but all will be on the radio.
Wonderful.
That's fabulous, and I've been to the Fargo Park. You're going to love that, Doug. Just out of curiosity, before we let you go, I looked this up in regards to your father there, but do you partake in a cigar occasionally after a game like your dad?
Yeah, you're not going to see me with a cigar. That's something that he always did. He would do it during the game. With the Giants, yeah. I didn't even need to do it at the house. I know that. I didn't show my mom much, but he would do one during the game. And I'm not really a cigar guy.
Sure enough.
Fair enough.
So Friday, May 19th is the home opener against the Lake Country Dockhounds.
Correct. Yes.
First game at Shaw Park. Should be great weather, promising at this point, but of course, long range forecast yet to be decided. Doug, thanks for taking some time, and really appreciate you playing through here. Calling in sick, and appreciate you joining us here on the Bench Jockeys.
Yeah, thank you. And I apologize to you guys and all the listeners about me being down. I'm out of work today, but I've got to rest my voice. But some got me up here. Might be the climate, but hopefully I got to get healthy. Got to get on the field next week. So.
Yeah, exactly. Got those preseason games to get ready for. Save that voice.
Yeah.
Take care. Have yourself a good weekend. We're going to take a quick break.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
When we're back, we'll talk some majors.
Time now for the seventh inning stretch.
Back here on the Bench Jockeys, 101.5 UMFM, and turning
that
away from
the
fish. Yeah, I appreciate Doug. I talked to him earlier this week to set things up, and this is not the energy you will get on CJNU. It's too bad that he's feeling poorly, but appreciate him gutting through it and joining us here on the show.
He's a gamer just like the Goldeyes, right? So that's
exactly.
A good thing. And like you said, there's something I didn't know. So May 7th is the preseason will start, and they'll have that on CJNU available there throughout the preseason before they get into the regular action on the 11th and then the 19th at Shaw Park. So that's fantastic. It was great. And hopefully we'll get a chance to maybe catch up to him later on in the season there and see how the Goldeyes are doing.
Absolutely, as he kind of gets more familiar with the city and with the team. Turning our attention to the majors.
Sure.
So, I mean, they're tied right now with Houston. But did you foresee Texas being this strong? You there, Zook?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
Are you so flummoxed you're so flummoxed. Texas being this strong, the plus 54 run differential right now, tied with Houston for the lead in the AL West.
I got to be honest, I'm a little bit more surprised of Texas. There's a little bit because they had a whole bunch of free agent signings over the last couple of years. So maybe this was kind of bubbling a bit. But I'm a bit more surprised at your Pittsburgh Pirates. Not your Pittsburgh, anyone's Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
The NL Central, they have a plus 35 differential, and they're at a 9-1 over the last 10 games.
18-8 record, 692 winning percentage actually puts them in first in the NL. Actually puts them in first overall.
Well, no, the Tampa Bay Rays are still there, right?
They're 21-5, my apologies. Right? I didn't scroll up high enough on the AL side of things.
No, that's fair enough. But I mean, for Pittsburgh, I mean, and they've been kind of the dregs for quite a while. And
I know it's early
and stuff, but I mean, they even signed Brian Reynolds to a $100 million plus contract, which is the first time in that franchise history. I mean, good for them, right? I'll say this, of the newer ballparks, and that's right up there.
PNC
Park is fantastic. And we just talked
about Lake Shaw Park, it benefits from being right alongside the river.
Well, there's no doubt. I'll say this, you know, like Doug was saying that, you know, he's kind of seen what the Shaw Park is, and it's a really good park. For Major League Ballpark, they have located it pretty ideal, right? Right by the river there. The bridge is right around there too, and it is just a gorgeous park, right? And so good that I'll say this. I read this week too. So they're on the streak. They've won 9 of the last 10, and they had like less than 12,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's early, probably weather not so good right now. But also, I think a lot of people probably just not, you know, not
well,
probably believe in it a bit.
That's
an
ownership that's kind of done a disservice to its fan for a few years,
sure.
Right? Like, I mean, trading away hyped guys, really gutting the roster and the payroll. And, I mean, they've been one of those teams that, they haven't been as out and out bad as the Athletics in terms of, like, looking like they're trying to, like, relocate. But in terms of just kind of trying to profit off of the shares from amongst the teams on the TV deal and then just running as cheap a roster as possible to kind of maximize the profit, it's been a hard journey for Pittsburgh fans, because I mean, this is a team that, you know, like, has a storied history. You know, a guy like Barry Bonds and some the We Are Family teams back.
Yeah,
in the
Willie
day.
Stargell. And so, I mean, I'll say this: it's nice to see a little bit of a renaissance. Andrew McCutchen came back home.
Yeah, that,
and it's a great story, right?
That's like, a great story. And then we had another great story this week. Drew Maggi. Did you see this?
Oh, fantastic story! Tell him about it.
So, got his first major league at bat on Wednesday night, following 13 seasons in the minor leagues. He was a ghost player, which if you're not familiar with the term, it's someone who got called up to the roster but didn't actually take an at-bat in the majors.
Right.
And that happened with the Twins. He was drafted by the Pirates. I think he was like maybe a Rule 5 pickup by the Twins. Ended up, manager Derek Shelton actually, I think, worked with him when he was with the Twins organization.
That's right.
Now Shelton is in Pittsburgh managing the Pirates, and then Maggi back in the Pirates organization, got called up, got his first at bat on Wednesday, and then had his first major league start on Thursday. But you know, toiled in the minors, and then had this one opportunity that was so fleeting that it's a ghost player. That's how fleeting it was. It was ephemeral. But now gets, I mean, it's one of my feel-good stories of the week in terms of Major League Baseball, that's for sure.
100%. And just if anyone hasn't seen the video, just him stepping out the plate, the crowd there just gives him a rousing ovation, and rightfully so. And it was funny.
And Kutch was one of the guys.
Right, and the funny enough, he said afterwards, he said it was paraphrasing, it was like the happiest strikeout he's ever had in his life, right? You know, like, obviously he wanted to get a hit, but you know what I mean? Just the journey, it's hard to imagine that. Just do anything for 13 years to try and reach a goal, right? And good on him, right? And couldn't have happened. It seems like, you know, he had his family out there to celebrate with him to reach this milestone and actually become an official Major League Baseball player, right? And, yeah, I mean, these are things that you couldn't script some of this, right? Like, this is just why baseball is so great in regards to that. And the Pirates just are actually winning right now, which is fantastic for that organization.
I call them a ghost player. It's a phantom ball player, I guess, is the technical term. So, unfortunately, I'm looking at the clock here. We're going to have to hand things over to Dr. Renewable.
Sure.
There's more baseball to come over the next few weeks. And, in fact, next week we're going to be joined on the Bench Jockeys by Heidi Jacobs, who previously wrote a book called 100 Miles of Baseball with her husband, Dale Jacobs. She has a new book about the Chatham Colored All-Stars, a historic team from Ontario, going to be joining me to talk about that book. Here on the Bench Jockeys
And I think we'll have her on Turning Pages on the book show as well. But that's next Friday. It's the weekend, though, and there's lots of baseball. So...